Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports. Of course, we are live, and I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin and DK in the background. We're excited to be here, and we are brought to you, as always, as of late, by BetUS. We're excited to talk about that tonight. Got some new season-long bets. We kind of talked about those on Tuesday. We got some new ones that we're excited to talk about. One of the ones that I think Glenn's a little excited about when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens, but all that being said, Glenn, how you doing tonight on a Thursday night? The work week is almost over.
That's right. Thursday's always a good night. I'm doing well. I like to see the Orioles got back in the winning ways today with an afternoon victory over the Astros. But, yeah, I mean, look, we're 2 days away from Ravens football, and we're going to get into who's going to be playing, who's not. Probably not going to see some of your favorites out there, but you know, guys like, you know, me and you that are interested all 53 on this final day roster, I'll be happy to see Ravens football, whether it's our starters or our second and third string, you know, and so forth.
100%, man. Cannot wait.
Looking forward to 100%. We got to check.
Oh, that. Gosh.
Hold on. I got to take a shot. One show. I'm going to take a shot every time you say 100%. And by the end of it, I'm going to need to get a hospital trip.
Like, seriously, it's get your stomach pumped. Goodness gracious. But this is the thing I'll say. That was a minute and 11 seconds into the show.
And you already did it.
That's pretty embarrassing. Wow. Anyway, so, yeah, I'm excited to talk Ravens. I mean, it's going to be real and live, and we'll talk a little bit about what to expect and what questions we want answered and things like that. But usually we start with injury stuff, and I think it's probably – there's every once in a while we don't. But I think it's really, really important that we do today only because – I feel like one position, you know, in and of itself has been the center of attention when it comes to injuries. Nothing like I haven't heard about any season ending stuff, but nicks and dings here and there that have made, I think, the cornerback position a little difficult for the Ravens. And John seemed a little frustrated by all of it. So I kind of want to talk about it. Got any updates for us, Glenn, from the injury standpoint? I know Damarian came back, right? Like, that's good.
Well, not so good because he came back today and then was carted off the field.
Oh, shoot. I did not read that. Goodness gracious. Great.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Look at me. Up to date.
That's part of the reason why coach was asked about it, because you got Rock Ya-Sin, who not to the degree of Pepe, at least.
But they've been quiet about Rock, right? Like, what is happening?
That's what makes you nervous, you know? But everything they're saying is that they still, you know, he's on track and they expect him this and that. But we also heard before the injury that there has been a bit of a learning curve for him coming to this system, a system that's plays more multiple schemes than he's used to in years past. So he had a learning curve, and now he's not out there practicing. He's not learning other than in the classroom, which, you know, repping matters, not just, you know, watching what's on film. So yeah, the depth is becoming an issue at cornerback. And this was an issue before these injuries, in my opinion, because Marlon's been healthy, knock on wood. He's been doing a great job and he's fantastic. But look, if he were to go down with a twisted ankle, all of a sudden you got real problems on your hands. So, yeah, hopefully Pepe's injury, which we haven't gotten any clarity on, isn't as severe as, you know, anytime you hear about a guy getting carted off, it doesn't sound good. No. So, yeah, coach was asked about it today in his presser, and he said it's an issue when asked about the quarterback depth. He said there's no question. Those guys have been in and out, and then these little tweaky things that are happening to these guys, they're annoying. There's no doubt about it, and the players are annoyed by it too. So I think it's only inevitable that they're going to have to add somebody to this group, maybe even more than one to this group, just to – because he already mentioned Marlon's not playing in the preseason, so who's going to play? And eventually you start to run out of bodies, Jimbo.
Yeah, it's really tough because, just like you said, from a straight-up bodies perspective, right, like you need guys out there, but also – you have any hope of building some continuity, some chemistry, and some faith in some of these guys, you need to be out there. I'll tell you what, before I know we're going to kind of talk about free agents, but because I think if I'm not mistaken, didn't John say something to the effect of we're going to have to address this?
Yep.
Or, you know, something like that. I don't know if that's verbatim, but you know, outside of that, there's one guy that, as far as I know, has been pretty healthy. Old 21.
Oh, here we go.
He's out there. He's out there getting reps, man, and you know what? That's availability is the best ability, right?
No doubt. And Jalen Armour-Davis, to his credit, also who's dealt with injuries, but you know, certainly seems to have all that it takes if healthy. he's out there and he's still he's still been turning heads, but that's just not enough, right? Like they need more. And I know we got some safeties that can fill in at nickel and this and that, but you can't have too many good corners, and it looks like this team doesn't have enough right now.
Yeah, today I heard the who's the Raiders kid? Max Crosby, is that his name?
Pass rusher?
Yeah, I heard him talking about Marcus Peters today and how he's a ball hawk and how he had an interception today in practice. And I'm like, just makes me sad. You know, it makes me think of like how, you know what Marcus is? I'll tell you what Marcus is. If anybody's ever been in a sales capacity, he is the higher performing guy that like shows up late, doesn't follow the rules, doesn't send in his reports, doesn't do it, but he produces. So you just deal with it, right? Like Marcus might not be your prototypical, you know, Johnny B. Good, Raven, right? But the dude just gets it done. And so, when I was listening to that today, I was like, oh, I miss the days of Marcus Peters.
Already, just, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. I mean, even more now, right?
Well, yeah, and look, I always thought they'd go to Anthony Averett. He's also been since signed with the team. So there's not a lot of names out there, Jimbo. I mean, you look at almost everyone on the list is 30-plus. You know, but some people say bring back Kyle Fuller before the injury in preseason last year. He looked like a guy who was ready to really help this team, but he is 31 years old now coming off a knee injury. I don't know if you can count on him and if he's really the guy that, you know, fits the need, but I'm starting to get a little nervous about how thin this group is, along with the uncertainty of pass rush, because the two run hand in hand. And while I have high hopes for the young pass rushers, if they struggle, if they maybe don't come out the gates hot, it could make that thin cornerback room look even worse.
Yeah, and while we have high hopes, there's some other people we talk to don't have too high hopes. That makes me even more nervous. Just scary all around. But this I'll say, to kind of turn the page, is, and I think there's some other things you're going to talk about, but the Ravens defense as a whole still looks dominant.
Oh, for sure.
You know, we've seen them out there, and maybe it's going to look different. Maybe, you know, every team has holes and all those things are true, but ultimately it's a unit gets it done, right? So it's going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. Are there any other, oh, and we have some good news. Oh, let's get to Connor's really quick. Connor Darty says, going to the game Saturday, do you think Zay plays? Well, we can talk about that and we can kind of divert back to what we were talking about, but Glenn, you had a comment. You know, John said something about this. He was kind of coy about Zay, wasn't he?
Yeah. Zay, when asked about who's playing in the preseason this Saturday, John said no established starters will play. Mm-hmm. So that kind of left us up to determine who he considers established starters and who's a fringe starter. But then he was asked specifically only about Zay, and he didn't really give an answer for sure either way, but it kind of led me to believe that we might see Zay out there for at least a little bit. And
he say that the young starters would get a few snaps?
Yeah, he said if they're a fringe starter, young starter. Yeah. Right. So we got to figure out who's those guys. Now, he's been impressive, but as a rookie, I think he, you know, fits that category. So I think he'll play a little bit. To what degree, who knows? And I'm just going to be fingers crossed the whole time, right?
Dude, no kidding. Fingers, toes, all of it, man. Because
we literally fun to see him out there, though, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny. I kind of wish we were back in the days. You remember back in the day where we just didn't think about this stuff?
Didn't even think about it.
Right. Send him out there. Give him a quarter game one. What was it? Like
a half game two.
And three quarters.
Into the second half to see how they come out of the halftime break. Right. All that. Like,
yeah. I miss the good old days. You know what I'm saying?
And then none of them play in the fourth one.
That's right. You know? Exactly. I mean, you know, so call me old, but now I feel like I worry too much about injuries and rightly so. Like, I get it. But the other thing I'll say too is for good news, at least for the offense, we haven't talked about it because I think he came back on Wednesday. Rashad Bateman is back in action.
So excited.
Yeah, man, looks smooth. Obviously from the little clips we saw, but looks like he's moving well. And I'm excited about what Bateman obviously can bring to this offense, as well as I think everybody that's a Ravens fan. But what are your expectations for him, you know, now that he's there and he has some time? Do you expect him to be full go week one?
I mean, he certainly has time to get to ramp it up to that point. That I think my excitement, my expectations, they're tempered because I'm like scared to get to it. Because man, as good as OBJ has looked, as impressive as Zay has looked, if you add a healthy Bateman to that group, and then Nelson Agholor on top of it, I mean, has been amazing this training camp. You add a healthy Bateman on top of that, that's crazy. I mean, that's an impressive group. I'd stack up against anyone in the league, any team in the league. But I also worry, can he stack practices and not have any re-aggravation, not have any setbacks, any swelling, any pain? I have my doubts on if he can stack days. And that's what it's going to take, especially at this point, for him to get caught up. Because these guys they're motivated, they're playing well, and it's a heated wide receiver competition. Not to say he has any worry about losing his job, but losing playing time, at least in the early part of the season, is a very real possibility if he doesn't get up to speed. And so I just hope no setbacks, stack days. That's all that matters to me. I don't need to see Rashad Bateman in a preseason game. Certainly not in a preseason game, you know, 4 days after he's been activated.
Yeah, but no.
I need to see him on back-to-back-to-back practice days. That's what I do need to see.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I'm holding my breath, just like you said, about Zay playing in preseason. Every practice, I'm the less – it's almost like this. My dad has this thing, right? So, like, naturally, at least in my household as a kid, my mom would worry too much, and my dad just didn't
care. Yeah.
Yeah, he just didn't – no, I didn't care about us, just – yeah. You know, my dad actually said once, Glenn, this is legitimate. He said, you know, when I leave you guys in the car and I walk in the store, every once in a while I get concerned that someone's going to take you. But then I realized that if anybody took you or your brother, they would give them right back.
They'd be like, you can have them.
Yeah, take them back. We don't want you. Right. So ultimately what I was going to say, though, is that he used to say, no news is good news, is what he would tell my mom when someone didn't call. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, somebody hasn't called. No news, good news, Doris. You know, and look, that's where I'm at right now with Rashad Bateman. Like,
yeah,
I just don't want to hear anything. Like, I just want to see him blend in, be one of the guys, and that's it. You know,
well, I mean, the thing is, though, when he's healthy, he can't blend because he's better than most of the guys.
That's true.
He stands out. But yeah, you're right. No injuries, please.
Please. Jeez, whiz. Can we? Yeah, stay off the injury bug. Speaking of which, are there any other? Oh, let's see here. Tariq Kakik says, why was Marcus treated like this? The argument?
No, I don't think it was the argument. I think what it was is they viewed, and look, Ravens fans saw it. You guys saw it. They viewed that he gave up on some plays. They took it as he didn't give 100% effort on some plays. Mm-hmm. I think that's the feeling. I think that's a lot of Ravens fans when you went on social media after a couple of those games where you're going, what the heck was that? Where it kind of just didn't look like full effort. And so I think that rubbed some players the wrong way. They want some coaches the wrong way, I should say. And I think they wanted to go with a younger group. But do you think that the argument played no part? I think it would be naive. I think it played some part, but I think mostly it was the play on the field.
Yeah, that's so funny to me because I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think it was the argument.
You think it was all the argument?
Not all the argument.
The tape on, though. His tape was not good.
He had some moments, though. I mean, one of the highlights of the year was that play against Cincinnati where he broke up the reverse and hit the Ray Lewis and all that stuff. Yeah. He had moments.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I don't think it had to do with the on-field stuff because even those things I don't think are new to Marcus. Like, the Ravens knew that coming in. But I think it's just whether or not Lamar says anything –
Well, so you're saying the argument between him and Lamar. I thought they were referring to John.
I don't think that had anything to do with it. Okay. I think that John and Mark
are a lot more similar. So if you're talking Lamar, I agree. Yeah.
I think the Lamar thing, only because even if Lamar didn't say anything like, hey, we need to get rid of this guy, like Lamar didn't seem like a Trey Lance type guy that would be like looking over his shoulder concerned or whatever, right? Like, he's not that type of guy. But ultimately, you pay Lamar all this money. You need to make sure he's comfortable as possible. He's in the best mind space. Like, you need to get everything you can out of all this money you just dropped. And if psychologically this has anything to do with it, why even mess with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently he was at this all, like, this was a lot. I think we heard voiced opinions from Sammy about, you know, there was people a little upset thinking maybe he should have gotten out there in the playoffs. Dan Wald's talking about right now. In the comments, and yeah, he's right. I mean, I think it was stemming over some veterans thinking he should have gutted it out and Marcus was just the most vocal by far, which should come as no surprise. But yeah, I mean, hey, I feel a lot better if Marcus Peters was at camp right now. You're daggone right, I would.
Yeah, Marcus Peters is Draymond Green, right? Like,
there you go.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's not an if, it's a when is something going to happen.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
So can you take the good with the bad? And the Ravens just decided at this point they couldn't take the good with the bad. Now, look, Golden State Warriors did the exact opposite approach. So we'll see which team it works out better for. Obviously,
they got rid of the punchee and not the puncher. They're like, we'll keep the puncher. Get rid of the guy who got punched.
Well, I'll tell you what, the punchee is a little punchy. I think they did the right thing.
Looked punch drunk the rest of that following season. But hey, he's going to get 25 shots a game playing for this Wizards team. He's going to be happy as hell that he's out of there. Let me tell you.
Green light all day. Green light when he walks off the bus.
Exactly. Let's see. Chris White says none of the guys with knee injury should have played last season.
Are you talking like JK and Gus?
I guess he's including them. I mean, some people were hurt preseason training camp and had quite a long time to get back up.
Yeah, you keep them off the field, Chris.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, I mean,
JK couldn't even extend his leg, and he was still itching to get back out there last season. So, yeah, I don't know. I see what he's saying.
For Peters, though, we heard this. Glenn, you and I heard this. Peters could have started camp. We heard that from reports.
That's right.
He's a vet. That's why. But Peters was the most ready of the three. So if anyone would have been out there, it would have been Peters. I can understand the JK argument. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Gus.
But he did play well. You got to give him credit.
Are you talking about JK?
If you look at his numbers.
Yeah, hobbling and all, man. Still balling out. You can't take that away from that kid for sure. But are there any other injury notes that we want to highlight before we kind of move on?
Well, Gus left practice
on
Wednesday, but he came back today and was back to full go. So that was really no issue. Same with Ronnie Stanley, Morgan Moses. They were both on a vet day yesterday, which everyone expected, and he was back. They were both back today. So yeah, no, knock on wood. So this point, they've been pretty lucky.
I'm waiting for a coach to just revolutionize the sport and say, look, we've implemented the offense. All vets, starters, proven players, whatever you want to say, just like we were talking about with Cliff, right? Let's just get him in the best physical shape we possibly can and focus on that for 4 hours a day, right? And do walkthroughs. Because when you know they got it, they got it. Like, what else is there?
Yeah, they talk about building the calluses. We can yet let the Commanders practice be the callousing. But, quick finish up the Marcus Peters thing. Jackson says it right. You know, you can't blame the knee if you're out there.
Yep.
You can't do it. You can't. If you're out there, then that means you're healthy enough to play and you can no longer. Now, I'm going to give him a bit of a pass on certain things because of it. But as a player, if you're out there, you're saying I'm healthy enough to play. And so I don't think it was like if he was giving full effort and got beat, it's a different story. To me, it looked like he loafed on a couple plays, and I think that bothered some of the coaches and probably some of his teammates as well, certainly during film review. But let's see. Ravens O's Nation says, I'm looking for a World Series and Super Bowl this year. Yeah, we've seen some cities get that lucky. I think there was a year where the Bruins, the Celtics, and the Patriots won. And, I mean, that's pretty damn fortunate. But yeah, that'd be awesome to have two winning Super Bowl and a World Series winning teams in one city.
What would you rather have? If you had to choose, you only have one.
I think if I had to choose, because I've never seen a World Series, I would go with World Series. I've seen two Super Bowls, including one as an adult with my home full of all my friends and family watching. The World Series is something I've never seen. But of course, I don't expect you to pick the World Series when you don't like baseball.
Yeah.
Doesn't shock me.
I would be happy. I would be happy for others. I'd be happy for the Orioles. But
you'd be happy for Doris, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I hate the Angelos.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Jeez,
so do I.
Yeah. So anyway, but that is interesting. Obviously, I would choose a Super Bowl without even thinking about it twice.
hey, look, I'd be happy with that, too. You're not going to get many complaints.
I know, right? It's like one of those things. Well, whatever. If we get one of them, I mean, goodness gracious. But
let's get into some camp notes, if you're okay with it.
Yeah, yeah, let's do it. And so, yeah, no other injury stuff. We kind of went over that. Feeling good about it. Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we'll start with yesterday and then go into today. So yesterday, you mentioned the Rashad Bateman news, which is awesome. Big notes coming out of yesterday was the domination of Roquan Smith and Pat Queen over the middle, specifically in passing drills, where the understanding was that even though you're in pads, that hitting was to be kept to an absolute minimum since you're hitting your own teammates. But Roquan and Patrick Queen apparently tested the limits of that line all practice long and had some pretty big pops in knocking the balls out over the middle, caused a lot of incompletions, were really active in pass coverage and throwing their bodies around a little bit, Jimbo, kind of testing the limits of how far they could push it in practice.
Yeah, no, that's exciting stuff because there are some moments, just like you said, where you want to see guys really push it. And I only saw the clip of the hit that Roquan put on Ben Mason.
Mm-hmm. Bench Mason?
Yeah, Ben Mason. He's lucky I still say his name. No, but I mean, he not only jarred the ball loose, did you see his face? Like
what? Oh yeah,
he was so shocked.
The shock, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's like, oh, okay.
Oh, we're doing this.
Yeah, this is how it works. But then, did you see the tackle by PQ though?
Dude, took him. Yeah, that Madden trailer that shows Josh Allen running over PQ. Let's see that in real life.
Yeah, seriously, man. No, so I know I'm probably the reason that he's blocked us. But
oh, it's definitely you.
It is. But look, as quick, I'm like Eric Bieniemy, okay? As quick as I am to say something like negatively, dude, I'll be your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah, man. Like pat him on the back.
You just gotta tell it like it is. If you're not playing well, I'm gonna say it. But that's dude, it. You gotta give him his flowers when he's playing well. And I can't wait to see these two out there just hunting like hungry dogs, man. I cannot wait to see it.
They are the energy. You talk about Zay being an energy bringer. That's what John calls them. These two are both energy bringers. Certainly game day. They're going to have this defense ready to rock and roll. So, yeah, it's exciting to see those guys. And I think the guys behind them, man, like Josh Ross, we haven't heard from him. But Delshawn Phillips, that guy has got to be learning something from these two guys. And I think that's why we're seeing those guys kind of have bigger and bigger camps. Also, this is something that's been kind of cool to hear is, and you saw it, you know, at the camp we were at just last Tuesday. It seems like we're finally starting to see deep connections and look, it's only practice, but we didn't see a lot even in practice under the last offensive regime, except for in the year 2019, where I think that's what's been missing in years since is that they haven't had that deep ball threat that they had in 2019. To go with that great run game, but it looks like that deep passing game has made a resurgence led by Odell Beckham. But we've also seen plays made by Nelson Agholor. We saw, I know I'm talking about yesterday, but today two long touchdowns were caught by Devin Duvernay and Mark Andrews. We saw obviously Zay has been extremely active. So, man, I mean, how much do you think all of a sudden having an effective deep passing game could really, you know, set this offense on fire?
Yeah, man, it's so exciting because you remember they were talking about this last year.
Yeah, the recommitment, the emphasis.
Yeah, exactly, all of it. But now it seems real. I mean, and we saw it in person, and it's just exciting to know that there are two things in place that we simply did not have last year, and there's large pieces to it. You have, I would consider I'm speaking very generally here. In order to have a successful passing game is certainly a long game. You need to have a great O-line. You have a good quarterback. You need to have weapons on the outside, but you need to have an OC committed to the scheme. Mm-hmm. Right. And last year we had an O-line and we had a quarterback. We didn't have an OC committed to the scheme and we didn't have the horses on the outside to get it done.
Yeah.
Right. So we only had half the equation and it's going to be so exciting. Now, let me ask you this on Saturday. Let's talk about this offense as a whole. What do you think we learned? Like, what do you want to learn about what this offense will look like on Saturday? Because I know John already said, obviously, Lamar ain't playing. Established starters ain't playing. But is there anything about this offense you're hoping to glean from this game that you can take to say, okay, we're going to see this moving forward? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, certainly. It's tough because of how vanilla they're going to go with their schemes. But what I want to see, and this seems crazy, but I want to see a proper check down. I want to see a quarterback throw the ball to the damn back out of the backfield.
Right.
Because it's just something we haven't seen.
Glenn, you got real robotic.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. That's all right. No worries. I agree with you 100%. Oh, I said it again. Jeez a whiz. I said 100% again. But yes, I agree with you in that just say 200%. Seriously. You have to come up with a different number. I agree with you there. It sounds so simple, but I want to see it, a screen, a check down, all stuff that we take for granted as fans that we simply have not seen done. Yeah, I think that's a great point. The other thing too is I want to see spacing from the wide receiver, from the pass catchers. Proper spacing, like whether they get open or not, whatever, because it's not going to be the guys that are going to be out there week one. But can we see an ability to space guys and give them opportunities to work in that space? Yeah. I want to see that as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think that's all he's talked about, right, is getting guys in space. And so, yeah, what's that look like? And it might not look the same because we might see more of Tylan Wallace and James Prochet in space, not Zay Flowers and OBJ. But we'll still see the general scheme. Now, one thing I think we can really glean is individual play is what we really look for because of how vanilla the schemes are. So I am super interested in seeing what Saleh looks like at left guard. Who's getting first team reps? You know, who's starting with the second team, I guess you'd say, because it's not going to be first team reps. Who's getting second team reps and who's bringing up the rear? And is the bright lights too bright for him? You know, or does this guy just blend in? We don't really hear his name. That's what we kind of want to see. But I think on the defense, I mean, I guess if we're just sticking offense, also what is Ben Mason's role? And do we at all see Pat Ricard? Do you think Pat Ricard is an absolute no play? Is he an established starter at this point?
Well, if Patrick Ricard plays, it's because it's a concern, right? It's a concern for him as far as him making the roster. If he doesn't play, then I think his job is secure.
That's a good point.
You know, do we see him out on the O-line at all? Can O-linemen wear number 42? Can anyone wear any number now?
I still think there's some restrictions. Not many, though. But yeah. I think there are some restrictions. But also, he might not play just because of the recency in which he's been back to practice, and maybe they'll use that. So we might have to wait till next week. Yeah, I mean, I think this offense it's going to be tough to see much, but also, are we going to see the elimination of the run game? Because I think some fans are still in the impression that we're not going to run the ball. And no. I still very much think the run game will be a part of this offense.
Yeah, and I've said this before, but I think that his goal as an offensive coordinator, as you know, for this offense in general, is to be extremely diverse in their capabilities to change every week. Right. To take the weaknesses that the defense presents and exploit them. Speaking of the run game, a funny note, I just saw this. You guys might have seen this on Twitter. Kevin Ostreicher just put up a clip of, I think this is hilarious, of Marquise Brown talking about the new offensive philosophy in Arizona being a run heavy offense. And they asked him if he's worried about it. He's like, nah, I mean, I played in Baltimore, so. Oh, dude, it's funny because he can't get away from it. He literally left to the desert to get away from the run game. And guess what? It followed him there.
And now he has Colt McCoy throwing the ball to him. Congratulations.
Oh, am I petty? You know what? Kevin put it up. So
yeah, it's Kevin's fault.
The one that did it. Not
but your laugh is it's pretty genuine.
Oh,
it's pretty genuine, bro.
It's kind of funny, though, right?
No, it is. It is funny. It is funny.
Like, I want him to be successful and healthy. Like, I don't care. He's in the NFC. He can do whatever he wants, and I hope he has a good career. But I just think it's funny because he pouted. And now it's the same exact thing all over again.
Winning wasn't good enough, Jimbo. He needed to be more of a part of winning, so he went to a place that's going to lose a lot.
Yeah, their coach went to Taiwan with a one-way ticket.
Yeah, by the way, if you guys haven't seen the Johnny Football.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it good?
Dude, it's so good. And man, did he get Cliff Kingsbury a job too, man? Cliff Kingsbury was his OC.
At A&M, right?
Yeah, and by the way, the offense was Johnny. Run around, throw it if you want to. But if not, just run. And there was no offense. And he got a big job. Like, he got head coach at Texas Tech. All that off of, like, no offense.
But, yeah, well, then Pat, I guess, got him the job at Arizona.
Oh, you're damn right, Pat got him the job at Arizona. You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah. How did he end up at – how much money did they give that kid?
Well, I think it was just – unorthodox. So yeah. I think that was more so because back then, if it was money, Texas Tech wouldn't have been the highest bidder.
Especially in Texas. Went to the where he played high school football. Remember I sent you those pictures?
Oh yeah.
Literally was, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It looked like the University of Maryland campus, like the football field. I mean, it was ridiculous. And it was
high school. Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane.
Different world in Texas.
Yeah. Let's see. James Lee Wiley says, I believe Ajabo and Owe, along with Smith and PQR, are going to take the pressure off of the corners. James, I hope you're right. Man, I hope you're right. Because,
well, I mean, speaking of that, we have some news on maybe the potential newest pass rusher, right? I mean,
oh, yeah. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's get into it. Because I think there is a lot weighing and kind of being expected of Ajabo and Owe. But I don't think we should ignore the fact that the Ravens are being active in trying to bring in some more help for those guys. And I don't look at that as like a knock on OJ, on Ajabo and Owe, because I think you need more than just two guys. But they're kicking the tires on a pretty famous guy in Jadeveon Clowney. But some fans are going, wait, didn't this guy just quit on his team last year in Cleveland and not play the final, six games?
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that he's playing opposite maybe, or at least arguably, the best pass rusher in the league in Myles Garrett. So, Jimbo, I know you reached out to a source of ours and got some interesting response here.
Yeah, I think that this is a guy who's extremely connected to the Browns and is definitely an insider there. Said the following, I asked him those questions, kind of what happened with Clowney, what was the situation, why did he quit on the team, and why was he sent away, all these things. So he said a couple things I asked him for his overall thoughts on Clowney. Couple things that were interesting is you started off saying pass rusher, and that's really what made Clowney the number one draft pick overall, his athleticism. Yep. But he said, as far as his football play, he said he's not really a pass rusher, hasn't been for years. If you really look at his tape, very good edge versus the run. We've talked about that a lot. You've pointed that out. Can clean up plays in the backfield, but he doesn't create them much. So that scares me from simply a schematic standpoint to know that, like, crap, maybe time after time, people are realizing that Clowney isn't actually a potential, when healthy, double-digit sack guy, right? Like, he's just not that guy, know?
I think what's exciting about maybe right now is that people still thought he could be that guy, and that's why he kept getting those contracts.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, all of a sudden, There ain't a line at his door to sign him. So maybe right now is the perfect time for the Ravens.
You say that. Now, I'll say this as far as a caveat, right? Because this is the part that's about him as a person, not as a football player. So he said Clowney got sent home because Clowney got sent home because he said he wasn't coming back. And the Browns almost certainly and correctly took that to mean he wasn't going to play hard, right? He simply wasn't. He's not someone who would ever be called a bad teammate, but he's not exactly the most popular or positive guy either. And he said the reason that he was upset in the beginning with his rift with the team was them being out of playoff contention. So I understand being out of playoff contention sucks, but ultimately, like, my take is you're playing for a job. So you just quit your job. Like, just quit, right? And they just sent him home. And I don't know how the pay for all of that worked. I'm guessing the Browns paid him, because they voluntarily sent him home because he was just like, I'm going to loaf to get my paycheck, right? And they're like, nah, we'll just send you home and you can collect your paycheck, but you're better off at home. So they paid him to stay away instead of loafing and being relatively negative towards the team.
Yeah, and that's the concern. You don't want a guy who's going to influence the younger guys, negative.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a John Harbaugh guy to me, if I'm being honest.
And apparently that's kind of, that's what he's done here in Cleveland and in Houston is when they're out, he's out, which you don't like to hear. Now, having said that, I expect the Ravens to be very competitive. I don't expect them to be out of it with six games remaining on their schedule. I can't remember a time in which that's been the case. And while he's not a pass rusher, like in a sense that he played in 12 games last year, he had two sacks. He also, the year before, for one, he's only 30 years old, but also the year before, he had 9 sacks in 14 games. So it's not like, you know, and he's never had 10 sacks. He's had 9.5. He had 9. He's had 9. So he's had at least 9 3 times, but he's never had 10. But just to know what you have in him is a great, great run defender, like elite run defender. And you have the potential to get 9 sacks out of him. I think that's reasonable. They got 9 sacks out of Houston, but Houston's not the run defender that Clowney is.
Right.
And it's not like, look, it's a passing league, but let's not forget that Nick Chubb is arguably the best runner of the football in the entire league. He's still in this division. I know we're not the biggest fans, and I got into it in the comments a little bit about us calling Gus Edwards better than Najee Harris, but...
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they said we were... Yeah, we were crazy to say that.
I mean, just...
And by the way, for his career, Najee Harris averages 3.9 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Four is the minimum for being considered...
Gus averages
5.2.
Yeah, in his sleep. Career. Like, he just wakes up averaging 5 yards a carry. Look,
I got Jimbo fired up. Like, he's ready to, make it up.
I mean, I don't know how you can – the only thing you can say is that – what can you say? He went to Alabama. Who gives a crap? Who cares? It's got, like, who cares?
Do you imagine what he would – just imagine Gus with the amount of carries that Najee's had.
It's ridiculous.
It would be absolutely insane. August. But yeah, so I'd be okay with bringing in Clowney if the money's right, and if it's not something where if he does decide to pull some of this BS that the Ravens aren't stuck, you know, on the hook for way too much scratch, which it doesn't sound like that's the case because, look, you're rubbing teams the wrong way when you quit on your teams with 6 games left. But if they can get a motivated Clowney who has an incentive-laden deal with relatively low risk, why not?
Well, I'll tell you this, Glenn. It's funny because our last show, you were Team Van Noy and Team Clowney. I think we're doing one of these. After reading that, I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want him here. He's had time. Ultimately, it's the – you ever had a buddy that's like, dude, I don't know why all these girls keep breaking up with me or I'm on all these, like, toxic relationships or, like, why everything goes wrong for me? And it's like, dude, it's your poopy pants attitude.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. You, my friend, suck the air out of the room with your negative attitude all the time, right? Like – sometimes it's hard to be around people like that because you're like, can anything be okay today? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No, I've been around those people. It's obnoxious.
It's exhausting.
And they're never wrong.
Yeah. So
they've,
like,
never done a wrong thing in their lives.
I don't want anything to do with that. I want the guy who may not be as athletically gifted, but Van Noy is one heck of a smart football player. He's versatile. Yeah. He's a leader. He's a winner. He's been in the big moments. He's that's what I want.
I want both of them.
Hey, and look, JPP's still out there, as far as I know.
Look, they had Houston and JPP last year. I want Clowney and Van Noy this year.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take those two because JPP was brought in, and really, he ended up being just our best run defender on the edge. Like, that's what he ended up being. Yeah. But Clowney's better than him at that.
Didn't he get a sack or two his first game with, like, a pot belly still, JPP? He was still working himself in shape and just
might have
balling
out there.
That
probably was the end of his sacking. Like,
he did one of these after his sack. He was like, he like threw up the guns. You know?
Dude, he was so good at one point, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah. Look, I agree with Tariq. I'll take Kyle Van Noy and JPP.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I'd be happy with that. I think they have to add to the group. But if they don't, I guess we should be encouraged that they didn't. Yeah, he had 3 sacks last year as a Raven.
Yeah. By the way. Then maybe it was, yeah. But, dude, I felt like, remember how many batted down balls he had? Like,
Yeah.
He made plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Credit him, dude, for having the least amount of fingers on the team and the second most batted balls. Seriously, dude. I mean,
that's pretty good.
That's awesome, that's pretty good.
And dude, he's been in the league for 13. He's already had 13 years in the league, man. So you got to give that guy credit, dude.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, JP, just gets it done, dude. That's right. He's a ball player. Let's see. Don C says, can't wait for this year. With the exception of the cornerback room, I feel that our position groups are loaded. It feels different this year. It definitely feels different this year. I'm just trying not to get too ahead of myself, right? Like, I'm trying to pace myself because if things start, I'm not good at not going off the rails if things go off the rails. So I'm trying to like.
This is why temper. We can't live stream games when we watch, because Jimmy is ready to just get rid of everybody on one play, and the next play signing everybody to extensions.
Dude, I remember we were watching the Niners game at your house, and it was the rainy game. It was the 19th season, and yeah. You have the lazy boy like on the right side of the downstairs, like right yeah. there. I was on my knees, literally like praying that Tucker like makes this field goal. It was, you know, the end of the game. I'm like, I realized, I'm like, what am I doing?
What is happening to me?
Yeah, dude, look, it is what it is. I'm Michael Scott. I can't help it.
Hey, we're emotionally
roller coaster, man.
Let's see here. Robert Wiggins says, "Sup, fellas? Does JK start if he doesn't practice until week one practice week?" Absolutely not.
Yeah,
no chance.
No way. Yeah.
Absolutely. It would just send just a horrible message to those who've been practicing, sweating, mm-hmm. all camp. And let's not forget, Gus has looked damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, even Melvin Gordon, in a brief stint, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell look good. So, yeah, I think they would be perfectly fine as long as everything stays how it is if they went into it without JK. And I don't how long – let me ask you this. I think to the question here, if JK does – let's say he does sit out the entirety of training camp and only returns to practice for our week one practice, which is just before – the game, how long would it take mm-hmm. for him to be actually play?
That's what I was gonna say, because if he practices the week before game one, he's not playing week one,
right?
Because that ramp up is no joke. All you're asking for is a serious injury if you're going from nothing. Dude, you remember when Stinkin' Joe might complain about Joe, right? Like he would do nothing in the offseason. I'm like mm-hmm. quoting people, and then he'd get on the bench his first workout and strain his back.
Yeah,
that only happens to people who are doing nothing. I'm not saying JK isn't doing anything, but certainly he's not in pads. He's not out there with the team. Yeah. He's not doing it. So I like week three. I think the first two games, you can wipe them off the table because it's not going to happen.
And it could be extended depending on the play of those in the first couple weeks. If Gus is balling out, going for 100+, and Melvin Gordon hasn't fumbled the ball yet, catching the ball well, and Justice is running wheel routes and catching, you know, 15-yard passes, then maybe they go, let's let JK take his time a little bit. You know, I think it's going to be it's only going to hurt JK the longer he sits. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous situation, and his agent should be fired. And yeah. The other thing I just want to talk about really quickly, too. Did we mention Broderick Washington? Did we already do that?
No, we haven't, and I'm so glad you did.
Okay. Well, he got the extension. Talk to me about it.
He got the extension. He's just such a humble guy. Like, I love listening to his presser. He seems like – it's like, oh, wow. You can see why this is why they signed this guy. Like, he is everything you would want in a player, a guy who has yet to reach his ceiling, always wants to get better, is humble, and, you know, he's just – but I just want to remember back, Jimbo, you know, because we all say things that we learn later on that maybe.
Oh, are you referring to me?
I'm just saying, how wrong were you about Broderick Washington? I mean, can we just say it, dude?
Look, he got his life together.
Does he look different now than he looked in high school?
It took him.
You're like, this is the kind of guy who hasn't changed
since 10th grade. He looked the same since 10th grade all the way through college. He did. I mean, I never saw him in 10th grade, obviously, but he did look like an oversized 10th grader. But he looks great. And the dude, this is the thing I like. Look, I'll tell you, say it like it is. Broderick is the guy that gets every single ounce of ability out of everything that God's given him.
Yep.
You can tell. I think he led our team in batted balls last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he's by far, outside of maybe Michael Pierce, certainly the most stout and shortest guy that we have on the defensive line.
Right.
So I was wrong. I'll call it. And he's really, and then of course, when he, you know, all that, the whole apartment wrecking issue, all that didn't help. And I'm glad he's gotten past all that. He seems to be, like you said, really humble, mm-hmm. mature kid. Like, I'm stoked for this kid. This guy's a Raven, and it's fun to see a player like this develop. So yeah, he's looking good. I'm excited about him. Admit it though, Glenn. You can totally see him being a senior in high school, though, right?
Oh, dude, he's got a baby face.
Big time.
And, you know, you can see here.
Ain't no Justin Houston.
No. Uh-uh. No. He looks young. And you can see it here in his left hand. And you can really see it during his presser when he put his hands up. He's got them D-line fingers. Look at that. Look at that ring finger, baby.
And you can
really see it. But, dude, like at the end when everyone normally, as soon as the questions are over and they give him the go-ahead to leave, they run out of there. But he took the time to thank, you know, those responsible for his contract extension and thank for the reporters for coming out there. I mean, he just seems like a great, great guy. But also, I found it surprising. He said that he tried not to get caught up when he knew negotiations were kind of heating up because he just wanted to stick to football, but also because he felt there were more deserving guys out there. So he was kind of surprised by it. And it's just like, man, how humble is this dude? Like, he's worried about, oh, there's more deserving guys. Like, you don't hear that much ever from any professional athlete.
No, I mean, he's a very collective, like collectivism is apparently a thing that is a high moral value in his mind, because these guys are individuals. They like to, you know what I mean? They like to take care of themselves. And look, you ever talk to a professional athlete? They say I and me a lot.
Right.
I, me. Because
you have to have that confidence to get to that level.
A lot of times you don't get there. Exactly right. But I think D-line and O-line guys generally are different, because it's very, like, you're very dependent on the guys next to you. And football in general, but certainly I think up front in the trenches, like, you're going to
generally
war.
Uncelebrated too.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So you celebrate amongst your crew right in the front, you know what I mean? The guys to your right and to your left. And Kadri, I mean, not Kadri. Oh, gosh, not Kadri. Calais Campbell called it, right?
Yeah.
Calais Campbell said that this kid was going to take his spot as far as the production on the team, and really liked seeing him out there. And I'm happy for him, man. It's super awesome. So shout out to him. You know what, Glenn? Never been more happy to be wrong.
I know, that's right. Yeah.
Never.
Jimmy's reaction to the OA pick better than the Broderick Washington take. Oh man, those are both. Yeah, I mean, the OA reaction was pretty epic.
I mean, and I tell you what, I'll tell you guys this. It's really funny because, you know how people, like, especially in like this world that we're in, Glenn, people that are in front of a camera really like put it on for the camera, you know?
Yeah.
I really try and tune it down. Cause, like, dude, if the camera was not on, that would have been
much stronger reaction. Yes.
Way worse. But really quickly, we got to get to our sponsor, because I mentioned off the top, we got a really cool, they sent us a new bet. And look, BetUS, first of all, is the OG in the game. Like, don't get it twisted. And you're going to talk about deep pockets and getting you as much free money as they can to play with. I haven't seen anyone that matches up to $2,500 at 125% rate. You literally get more than the money you deposited in a match, because 125% up to $2,500, that's a lot of play money that you can get. So one of the things I think is really cool, DK, if you want to throw this up here, is the most regular season wins. Talk to me about why you're excited about this, Glenn.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a Ravens team that just a few years ago achieved this in the first year of a new coordinator taking full reins, with Lamar Jackson healthy under center, with way worse weapons around him. So now you got a Ravens team who has a new OC, an OC who's never really truly had the reins on an NFL offense, so teams don't know what the heck to expect, as well as having this offense with Lamar Jackson, the most unique talent under center, and now you have the best collection of weapons around Lamar Jackson. I think plus 1,000 is an absolute steal as far as the odds. I mean, you put up $100, you're bringing back $1,000 if the Ravens end up with the most regular season wins. I don't think it would surprise very many people. I know it's a loaded AFC, and the Eagles certainly have an easier path in the NFC, but man, the Ravens are going to take the league by storm this year. But if you don't like that, there's some other good values in there. But I think the point is, what I'm trying to say is, go with what you know. Don't just go. Don't go with
using national talking heads.
Go with what you know, because the talking heads, like Jimmy calls them, they're not as nuanced about your team as you are. So focus on your team, and it's just my personal recommendation when gambling. But if you know the league, then go at it.
Yeah, this is an exciting one because I think, you know, these types of bets are unique and different, take a different strategy. But outside of that, they've got parlays, they've got in-game bets, they've got prop bets, they've got pregame bets, all kinds of stuff. Use the description in the – or excuse me, use the description. Use the link in the description to go ahead and get access to the match that they offer up to 125% at $2,500 as the limit. So go check it out. I said it before. I say it every time. It's an easy way for you guys to support us and make some money. Like I'm planning on putting some money down the Ravens on this one. I think this is really cool and a fun one. So make sure to go check it out. I know DK is going to do the same. Yep. I'm over here speaking for DK, but yeah. So check out BetUS and see what other stuff they got going. But use the link. Of course, you get access to all of it. Back to the show. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, back to it. Let's see here. What was your thoughts hearing that Marshawn Lynch and Ray Rice were on the sidelines of today's practice?
Yeah. I thought that was cool. I mean, that's a lot of fun. I swear, Marshawn's cousins with everyone.
Dude, I wonder why Marshawn's doing the... Oh, that's right. That's right. I did read that. That's right.
Yeah.
Which that's pretty cool.
And Marshawn's just he's just a cool guy, man. He's one of those guys you just want to hang around because... he's probably got awesome stories.
And he's hilarious to tell them. But My only thing is, if he was there, because look, when we were at camp, some NFL vets in the stands, and we made sure that they knew that they couldn't keep secret from us.
That's right.
If Marshawn was there, are you trying to get Beast Mode on the show?
Oh. Glenn, you know you're talking. Yes, of course. And I'll get sent to the secretary. No, but you know what? Marshawn would be the guy to give me his real phone number and answer a FaceTime.
That's true.
And he'd be giving out turkeys.
That's true.
He'd be like, I'm in the hood giving out turkeys. Like,
that's true. He would be the one who would actually give you his number and answer it. Yeah.
Like, secretary. I ain't got no secretary. You can have, like, talking about my mama. Like, she's my secretary type thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, no.
He seems just like a down-to-earth type of dude.
Who would you rather have on the show? All right? Ray Rice or Marshawn Lynch?
Oh man, that's tough because of the connection with Ray Rice. But I'd rather have Marshawn on because I've heard both interview and Marshawn is far more. Shout out to Ray, but I'd rather have Marshawn.
Just from an entertainment standpoint,
I would have loved to see my son walking up to Beast Mode to try and get an autograph on his football, dude. I would have been like, this is crazy. I might have had to challenge him to an Oklahoma drill too before we left.
You know what would have happened? It would have been like the Wile E. the Coyote where he just makes a crater in the ground. And you would have just disappeared into the ground.
Just gone.
Not just you.
No,
anyone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he is he's a beast. There's no doubt about it. But
so that's cool, man. Cool that like now that John is a more seasoned coach, things like this happen. Like I don't think old young John does this.
Oh, he's right. Yeah. No, you're right. He's a totally – and, yeah, I mean, he's just a – he's evolved. And I think that's what's the reason he's still here as a coach is because his ability to evolve. James Lee Wiley says, y'all are forgetting about Jones.
Yeah.
I've heard is physically stronger than all the linemen. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Michael Pierce mentioned that Travis Jones is not only the strongest here, but maybe the strongest he's ever played with. So, yeah. Excuse me. Nana Rave, I saw in the comments, brought up Metabike, who also a humble, you know, young, drafted, I think, kind of, he's about to take off. And
he's a
like Roderick,
star.
That's what I was looking for. Budding star.
That's where you're going.
Thank you. And look, Tariq brings up Metabike next. But yeah, I think you're both right. Travis Jones, I think he's about to have an absolute monster season. And Metabike, they talk about, and this kind of brings us to our next point. Broderick Washington talked about the competition for those.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Those pass rush snaps that Calais Campbell has left, and everyone that's been the focus this year is everyone wants those pass rush snaps because it's a limited group, especially if Clowney gets brought into the mix because they'll certainly just kick him inside and ask him to rush. But Metabike, I think, is currently the leader in the clubhouse. He is big. He's athletic. He plays physical.
He's fast.
Yeah, he can absolutely turn and run. So I look at like Metabike as the leader in the pass rush room. But I think Travis Jones and Broderick Washington are both, you know, those talking about block eaters, guys that can take two and not be moved. And then you add Michael Pierce in that group. I mean, this is such a talented front that whoever's out there, like they talk about not having a big drop off from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. I think they're the drop between 1 to 4 in that room is quite small, Jimbo.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you. And this could be the DK was waiting for me to say 100%. I could tell. That's why I cut myself off. But ultimately, what I was going to say, though, is that this could be the unit. Like, everyone's talking about the pairing at middle linebacker. Everyone's talking about the safeties. Is this the unit that ends up, you know, halfway through the season, is the storyline for the dominant unit of the Baltimore Ravens, the interior of the defensive line? Because let's not forget that every single great, legendary, successful defense this Ravens team has had, any true Ravens fan will tell you the boys up front, will give you their names, talk to you about how incredible they were. I mean, think about the 2000 season. Think about all the years of, you know, who's just qualifying for the Hall of Fame this year, Haloti Ngata. Mm-hmm. All the dominant years of Haloti Ngata and the guys that were out there with him. I mean, even a guy like a Kelly Gregg.
Oh,
and,
you know, he's like monster. Second on our team in tackles in the history. It's a ridiculous. Deep tackle.
Yeah, and he's like 4 foot tall, 4 foot wide. I mean, the dude just got it done. Like, he was just an absolute monster. Yeah, man, the duck.
Yeah, man. Buddy Lee, right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah. There you go.
He was. It's so crazy when they put those trivia facts up. I think he's third, actually. Third all time Ravens history in tackles from a D tackle. That's not normal.
His tenure wasn't even crazy long.
No, but just go look at those numbers that Kelly Gregg put up from a D tackle, and you're going to go, how the hell did he get this many tackles as a D? Because normally they're blocker eaters. You know, that's what they do.
That's their job.
Not him. He got off the blocks and he made plays. Now, quickly, before I forget, I did want to touch on a couple roster moves. The Ravens did waive today wide receiver Mekhi Polk. And they placed cornerback, another kind of point towards how desperate this cornerback room is starting to look. They placed cornerback Trayvon Mullen on the reserve NFL.
Perfect.
Which is disappointing. I mean, because we talked about Trayvon like a month ago and how excited he is to play with Lamar, and he's got the size, he's got the length, he's got the speed, and then now he's gone for the season. Just wanted to bring that up. It's disappointing.
Yeah, bummer. That is a serious bummer. That's all the notes I got for tonight, though, Glenn. You got anything else?
No, that's it for us tonight. Guys, please be on the lookout. The Ravens are playing this Saturday. We'll certainly have new or reaction and recap from the game to let you guys know. But that's it for us tonight, Jimbo.
Well, we'll talk to you guys soon. Enjoy Saturday. Get in on BetUS while you can. Use the link in the description, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
See you.
Nice.